We begin the current daf, Maseches Makis, daf Yud Gimel. Begin on the bottom of Yud Beis Mem Beis, full lines up on the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the last Mishnah of this parak, talking about the halachas of Galus. Now the opening words of the Mishnah, Kayetzibay, actually the Bach says, is going at the end of the words of the previous Gemara, where it's Irsha Kotosik Kvar Kayetzibay, that has the same halacha that generally you have to run away to a different city of refuge. The same thing would apply to a city that he has already been before, whether it be a Ben Levi or someone that already killed, and now he kills by mistake again in the city of refuge, because or else he says that the words don't have a continuation from the previous Mishnah, that it should say Kayetzibay. But either way, Kayetzibay, similarly, there's another halacha regarding halachas of the Ir Miklat, is Reitzeach Shegolo Le'ir Miklata, a murderer that went to exile to his city of refuge. V'rotzi Anshe Ir L'chabdein, the people of the city want to honor. So says the Mishnah, Yoyim Lehem Reitzeach, and he has to tell them, I'm a murderer. The reason why I'm here is not a visiting rabbi. I'm here because I killed by mistake. Amr Lai, if they tell him, Afal Pikin, even so we want to honor you. So then says the Mishnah, Yikabim, and then he could receive the honor from them. Shneman, but like it says in the Pasuk in the Varm, Zed Dvah Reitzeach, this is the word of the murderer. He has to tell them, I am a murderer. Then if they want to honor him, then they could still honor him. Now continues the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Med Aleph, Malam Hayu, the city would go ahead and give Schar Levim, the rent to the Levim, who the murderers would rent a dwelling place in the city of refuge, which the city was owned by the Levim. The city would pay the Levim for the rental of the Reitzchim, of the ones who killed by mistake. That's the Rabbi Huda. He disagrees. He says, Loi Hoya Malman Schar. No, they wouldn't pay for the dwelling they had to have in the Ir Miklat. That was all part of the halacha requiring that the one who kills by mistake comes to the city, that not only does it save him, but also all his needs are taken care of. He doesn't even have to pay rental for staying over here in the Ir Miklat. Another machlaiki says the Mishnah, V'chayzid l'shrara shahayi ba'divri Meir. Meir says that if, let's say, the one who killed by mistake was a Nasi or the Reish Av Bezdin, when he leaves the Ir Miklat, upon the death of the Kohen Gadol, he goes back to his previous position that he had before him. Rabbi Huda, he disagrees, says, Lo hayachayz l'shor shahayiba, even though he ultimately goes out after the death of Kohen Gadol, he does not go back to his previous position of authority. Now, Amar Rav Kahane explains the machlekes in our Mishnah. He says, machlekes b'sheish. The machlekes that we had regarding do the Ritzeach have to pay for his dwelling or not, says Rav Kahane, that was machlekes by the six Ari Miklat, which we mentioned in the previous stav. Those are mentioned explicitly in the Torah, where these three were in Eivor HaYarden and in Eretz Yisrael. Where Demar Savar, the Rebbe Huda holds over there, the Pasuk says that these cities should be lochem for you, for as a Miklat. So the word lechem tells you that for the murderers of the sin, v'hoi lechem ha'arm le'miklat, that these cities are you for a miklat, which the pasuk is saying explicitly, leklita, it's there only as a safety to protect you, but nothing more. And therefore, regarding the rent that you have to pay. But a marasav or mayor held no, when it says lechem for you, means lechot zvechechem for all your needs, and therefore that includes that not only does it save you, but everything is gratis, everything, nothing do you have to pay for, even the rental. But Aval says Rav Kahana, Barba Mishtaim, but the other 42 cities, which are not mentioned explicitly, but there are other 42 cities that also save the person who kills by mistake, which we saw in the previous stuff that there would be differences if he's aware if it is an Ir Miklat or not. In those cities, Divra Kol Hoyuman Lehem Schar. There, everyone would agree, even according to a mayor, that there he would have to pay for the rental that he has of his apartment. And that Amalei Rava. Rava disagrees with Rav Kahane. He says, no, Avadi Lachem L'chol Tzarchecha Mashma, the word Lachem, and it says in there in the Pasuk, that these cities should be Lachem for you, that means for all your needs. And therefore, Elo Amalei Rava, rather he disagrees and he qualifies it similarly but differently. He says, Machleik is Barboam B'shtayim. The Machleik is a man Yehuda in the Mishnah was regarding the other 42 cities. What's their machlekes? The Maris of Rabbi Huda held this that it says in Bamidbar Lamed Hei Pasuk Vav, where the Pasuk there begins that the cities that are given to the Levim, there's the six Ari Mikla which are given to you so that the one who kills by mistake should flee over there. Now, adds on the Pasuk, Valeim Tidnu, and on them you should give on the 42 cities. Now, so on that says Rabbi Huda, Ki Hanach Leklita, when it says that besides those six should be 42, it means, what does it mean that it's comparing those 42 to the six? Is for Klita, is for rescuing, for that he could go there to run away to. Whereas Amar Sefer Meir held no, Valeim Titnu Ki Hanach. When you're saying adding on the 42 to those six, it means like those six, which Mahanach Lechol Tzarcheichem, which just like those six, as we said, everyone agrees, Lechem is for all your needs, Afhani Nam Lechol Tzarcheichem, also all those are for all your needs. And that's what Rava says, of Besheish, regarding the primary six Ari Miklid, there Debe HaKol Lo Hayimal Nanschar, they everyone would agree, even Rabbi Huda, that no, he didn't have to pay for the rental assistance that he has over there, because it says, Lachem Lachot Tzarchechem. The other Machlekes in the Mishnah was, regarding Chayzul Eshror Shahayiba B'chulu, does he go back to the position of authority he had before he had gone into exile to the Ari Miklid? That we had a Machlekes. So the Gemara brings a brayse, the Tanbon, the brayse of the Pasuk in Yikra, which is told by an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, when he goes to work as a slave for another Jew. So when he goes free, either because at the end of 6 years or when it reaches the Yevil year, the Pasuk in Yikra says, so Beshavel Mashpachta, he goes back to his family, Velachuzas Avos of Yashav, and to the ancestry of his, the inheritance of his fathers, he goes back. Says the first opinion, what you see from this Pasuk is, it says Beshavel Mashpachta, it means L'Mashpachta Yashav. When he goes back from after being in Eved Ivri, he goes back to his family, but he doesn't go back to his position of authority, to the chazakah of his fathers. Let's say he's a family of rabbis or of leaders. He doesn't go back to that. That's Rabbi Yehuda holds. Remeir, he says, no, even if someone was sold as an Eved Ivri, when he gets out, he goes back to the position of authority that he has in, as an inheritance from his fathers. Because the Pasuk says, Elchuzas Avaisav, to the inheritance of his fathers, which is Kavaisav, like his fathers. In other words, this end is the conclusion of Remeir's opinion, and he's bringing a proof from the end of the Pasuk that he does go back to his position of Gedula. Like it says, Velachuzas Avaisav, which is everything that he has a Chazakah from his fathers, which is this position of authority, he goes back to that. Now, just like we have this machlekes that you have regarding Eved Ivri, is v'chein b'goyla. So too, that's my machlekes that by Eved Ivri is the same machlekes like we have in our Mishnah regarding a Ritzeach who went to Galus and then he gets out upon the death of the Kayin. The same machlekes that Menim Huda would apply. And where they learn it out from is because Kishu Omer, when it says over here, by the Eved Ivri, Yashuv, to go back, that's superfluous, because it could have just said, Veshavel Mashpachta, goes back to his family, Belachuzas Avaisam, and to the ancestry of his father. And it could have been quiet. What does the extra word Yashuv come to say? L'rabbis es Ritzeach. It's saying that that's what's called Mufna. When you want to make a Gzeres Shava, where if they're not totally the same, you have to have a word that's superfluous, at least on one hand, to compare it to the other one, to make a Gzeres Shava. Because here by Eved Ivri it says Yashuv. By Ritzeach, it also says Yashuv HaRitzeach L'Eretzach Uzasa, as the Gemara is going to conclude this, when it says, what does it mean, B'chim B'gayla, where the conclusion is, because it says Shiva, Shiva, here it says Yashuv by Eved Ivri, and by Ritzeach it says Yashuv, as the Gemara explains. My V'chim B'gayla, what does it mean that the same Achlik is a Menim Huda is, by Eved Ivri applies to Eretzeach Shagala? It's Kedetan, like Luna Braisa. The Pasuk says, Yashuv HaRitzeach L'Eretzach Uzasa, that the murderer goes back to the land of his ancestry, which teaches us La'eretz Achuzasu Hushav, he goes back to his ancestral land. But Ve'ein Hushav L'mashach Zika Vaisav, he does not go back, however, to the position of authority that he has from his fathers, that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. As we find, he says that opinion in our Mishnah. Remeyim, he disagrees, he says, no, Af Hushav L'mashach Zika Vaisav, he even goes back to the positions of authority that he has from his fathers. Because as we said, Gamar Shiva Shiv Mahasam Lon Gzer Shava of the word returning, where there it says Yashuv, and here it says Yashuv. Just like by Eved Ivri, we proved according to a mayor, he learns off from the words of Alachuzas Avaisav, means Ka'avaisav, he goes back to the positions of authority. So to the Gzer Shava teaches us, and the way we know the Gzer Shava, because the word Yashuv there is extra, and here it says Yashuv by Ritzach, just like over there, he goes back to the positions of shrara, of authority, so to over here, as his position is in the Mishnah, that chayzer l'shrara shahayibah, after he gets out from Galus. Hanuach elohin ha-goylim, we shall return to the second paragraph of Sechtes Makas, elohin ha-goylim, which spoke about primarily the laws of Galus, some of the kills by mistake. And with that, we begin the third paragraph of Sechtes Makas, the elohin ha-loikin, which again is a conclusion of Masechta Sanhedrin, talking about the different types of punishment, where here we speak about specifically those who get lashes for the sin that they committed. Now, although the parak and the Mishnah begins ve'elohin alokin, and these are those who get lashes, as Rashi explains, the word elu, these, is not precise because it's what's called tana v'shayer. There's many averis in the Torah, many averis with this lashes for, which are not mentioned in our Mishnah. The reason why we say these, and we pick specifically these items that we mentioned in the Mishnah, is because each one of these topics are a chiddush, that a novelty that we're teaching, that they do get malchus. As, for example, the opening category is to say that even though these are chiyuv krisis, they still get malchus. So too, the next category, when it talks about almana and a grusha, where it comes to teach, one of the halachas teach that a woman that's both a widow and a divorcee, even though it's one woman, that he'll be liable for two different sets of lashes for the two violations of being an almana grusha. So to a next category, when it talks about tevel and ma'aser rishon, which didn't have its truma taken off from it, where there the lav is not written explicitly in the Torah, and so to regarding hektish that wasn't redeemed. So we come to tell you that there's still going to be lashes. And once we mention hektish, so we mention ma'aser sheni with it, because both of their malchus are from the same concept of not being redeemed. And so too, the majority of them, as Rashi says, there's something novel about them, that they do have lashes, or that regarding its halacha, so that's why we mention these, but it's not exhaustive, the list, regarding things that get lashes. So says the Mishnah, these are the things that get lashes. So opens up with the category of those that discourage regarding having B with them, regarding arayas. Habal, if someone has cohabits with his sister, or his father's sister, or his mother's sister, or his wife's sister, or his brother's wife, or his father's brother's wife, or valanida, or even his wife, but if she's menstruating, these women, that there is a chiv of karis, but a person could get lashes for having bia with these women. Next category is that where there's a negative prohibition for having bia, not that of karis, is amal kohen gadol, is if a widow has bia with a kohen gadol, grusha v'chalitza kohen hedyed, if a divorcee or a woman had a chalitza to marrying a kohen hedyed, or mamzeres v'nesina liyisrael, mamzeres is an illegitimate child, or a nesina is from the gevinim, who were people that were not allowed into the assembly of the Jewish people, and therefore their negative prohibition, which then creates the lashes, is from what the pasuk says in Devarim Zayin Lo Tischaten Bam. There's a prohibition of marrying them, and so too Bas Yisrael Nasan Mamzer. The other way around, a Jewish woman who marries a Nasan Mamzer, that bia will create the lav, which will then produce lashes. Amana Ugrusha, regarding a woman that was widowed from one man and divorced from a different man, and married a kohen. Kohen Gadol, who's forbidden to both, so Chayav Nalau, says he's going to be liable because of her two sets of lashes, Bishum Shnei Shtemis, because of two different prohibitions in the Torah, where both are explicit in the Pasuk, and regarding both of them, there's an Azara, so therefore, with the same act of Bia, he's going to be violating two lav and getting two sets of lashes. Whereas Grusha V'Chalutza, a woman who's divorced and also had Chalitza, in the Chayav L'Misham Achaz Bavad, there the Kohen will only get one set of lashes only because of her being a Grusha, because Chalutza is actually not written in the Torah, it's learned out from a Ribui, which as the Brisa says in Kedushin of Ein Chesem Alf, it's actually part and parcel of the Isra of Grusha, where the Gemara says, I would only know Grusha is forbidden to a Kohen. How do I know Chalutza too? From the word V'isha, but it's not an explicit lav, and if anything, it's part of the Issa of Grusha, and therefore it would be only liable for one. Next category that we say gets lashes is those that there's karis for, is hatamei she'ochel es ha'kodesh. Someone that's ritually impure that eats something of kachim, where the Gemara will explain where does it say in the Torah a negative prohibition for that to get lashes for, which that's primarily what creates lashes is regarding a negative prohibition in the Torah. Va'abola mikdash tamei, if someone comes into the base of mikdash in a state of ritual impurity, or v'ochel chelav, eats forbidden fats of an animal, or v'dami, eats the blood of an animal, v'noisor, or if he eats the leftover parts of a carbon which was left over the time that it's allowed to be eaten, as the pasuk says from Moshe Chavtas, that you should burn the noisor in fire, lo yoichel, don't eat that which is on the noisor, ki kodeshu, because it's holy. Now, upigal, which is when regarding if there's a kohen's doing the avodah, then he has a thought about doing the carbon in the inappropriate time, that to throw the blood in its past its time or past its place, where the warning in the Torah, the negative prohibition regarding pigal, is actually also learned out from the same pasuk where we know neiser from, because when it defines neiser, the Torah says, why shouldn't you eat the neiser? Ki kodeshu, because it's holy. In other words, because it's something that's holy that became pasul, so we learn from there that anything that's kodesh, which became pasul, the Torah is coming to give you a negative prohibition regarding its consumption, as the Gemara says later on, which is what pigal is. It's a kachim, it's a carbon, which was invalidated. And v'tameh, regarding the prohibition of consuming kodesh that became tameh, it says in the Torah, v'yikr zayin, v'habasa she'yigo b'chol tameh, and the flesh of the carbon that touches anything that's tameh, which makes it tameh, lo yoichel, you shouldn't eat it. And v'ashechel, if someone slaughters kodshim outside of the azara, and or umalu b'chutz, if he goes and he brings it up on the altar outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which the warning of that is in Devarim Yud-Beis, it says, Shem Elokha Pentala, be careful that you shouldn't bring up and sacrifice it out of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Azhara, the warning of slaughtering out of the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara Masechet Zvachim, Daf Kavav Maralf, learns, some say it from a passing of Yikra of Lo Yizbuchu Oid, and some learn it from Gezer Shava, from the word Hava, which it says both by Sheikhet and by Malad, just like by Malad there's Azhara, so too by Sheikhet there's Azhara of doing that out of the Beis HaMikdash. And Va'oichel Chametz BePesach, if someone eats Chametz on Pesach, which the Torah explicitly says that, and there's Karis for that, if someone violates that, he gets lashes. V'ha'oichel, if someone eats on Yom Kippur, where the Gemara at the end of Masechet Yesharim of Pe'alef Manaf learns out, where do we know that Azhar in the Torah? And also, V'ha'oichel Malachim Yom Kippur, if someone does Malachim Yom Kippur, which the Torah explicitly says that that's forbidden, if he does that, he gets lashes. V'ha'mefatim es ha'shemen, if someone compounds the oil, which is in the same exact measurements of the Shemen HaMishkan, the anointing oil that was done in the times of the Mishkan, which that warning is in the Shmei Lama that says, Maskunta, in that measurement, Leisasu Kamoy, you should never make that same exact ones too. And so, Tivam HaFatim HaSa Keteris, if someone compounds the Keteris, which is the different spices and herbs that were used to sacrifice on the Mizbeach, where it says, Maskunta, Leisasachem, you shouldn't make that same exact compounding and measurements of the Keteris. And Vasach B'Shemen HaMishkan, if someone anoints himself with the anointing oil, which was made by Moshe in the Midbar, where the Pasuk says regarding that, Shemen HaMishkan, Abbas Adam Le'isach Inel, anointed on the flesh of a person. All those are Chiva Krisis, which if someone violates them, he gets lashes. Now, for regular Lavan, is Va'ichel Nevelis, if someone eats an animal that died, that wasn't slaughtered properly, Vitrefis, or someone that has a mortal defect, which also makes it not kosher, or Shkatzim or Masama, these non-kosher vermin, types of crawly creatures, these are negative prohibitions that if one violates it, he gets lashes. Or Ochel Tevel, if someone eats untithed produce, which the Asara for that is learned out in the Pasuk that says, V'leichalu es kotcha b'nei Yisrael asheirim, they should not desecrate the holy items of the Jewish people, which they will separate, which meaning that they'll take off truma, which sounds like that the Torah is prohibiting the consumption of something that will have the truma taken out from it, as the Gemara Sanhedrin of Pegim Laman Alpha explains, that's Tevel. Tevel is something that did not have it separated from, but which will be separated, don't eat it now, which is a prohibition to consume Tevel. And same thing applies to Umayser Rishon Shlei Nitra Trumasai. The first tithe is given to the Levim. They have to then take off what's called Trumas Maiser, Truma, to give to the Kohen from their Maiser Rishon, which is also considered Tevel because it's not yet totally tithed. Umayser Sheni and the second Maiser, which wasn't redeemed, and he eats it out of Yerushalayim, and that the Pasuk says in Devarim Yud-Beis, Leisucha Lecha B'Sherecha, you're not allowed to eat in your gates. Maiser Sheni either has to be taken up to Yerushalayim or redeemed, and then the money taken up to Yerushalayim, and then you can eat outside. So someone that eats it without redeeming it out of Yerushalayim is a negative prohibition that it gets lashes. And so to the Hektish Leinifter regarding a Hektish item, a carbon or other types of Hektish items that weren't redeemed, that Azhara, which is related to the prohibition of Me'ilah, that actually is not so explicit where that's written in the Torah, which Rashi says it would appear that it's, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says in the Braisa, that if someone's deliberate in his Me'ilah, in his misappropriation of a Hektish item, Rabbi says the person gets the death penalty, and the Chum say it's only a negative prohibition. Now the Gemara explains what's the reason of Rabbi. So the Gemara says, because he learns out Gzeir Shavah Chet Chet from Chuma. Now the Rabban, the Gemara says, no, the Torah excludes that it says, Umesu Bai, that regarding the misappropriation of a truma, their person is going to die, and not by Me'ilah. So it says Rashi, but what you see is that the Torah is only excluding in the Gezer Shava that Misa will not apply to Me'ilah as it does to truma, but the Gezer Shava, even the Kohen Rabbanan, would apply. And therefore we learn that the Azhara of Me'ilah from the Azhara of truma, which it says over there, V'chol Zar Lo Yechol Kodesh, that any non-Kohen should not eat Kodesh, which refers to truma. On that, most of the halachas of Me'ilah, we learn that from truma as it's brought in the Brayso and Teres Kainim. From this Gezer Shava says Rashi, so although it's being excluded from the death penalty according to Rabbanan, but the Azhara we know from the halachas of truma. Now, says the Mishnah, Kama Yechol Menat Tevel V'Yichayev, how much does a person have to eat from untithed produce to be liable for the lashes? Says Machleik, is Rabbi Shimon Amar, he says Kalshu, even a minute amount makes him liable. Machachamim Kezayis, they say like most Isurim of eating to be liable for the punishment is the size of an Aleph. So Amalem, Reb Shimon said to the Chacham, what do you mean? Iat Moedimli, don't you agree to me? But Eichel Namala Kol Shushu Chayev. If someone eats an ant, no matter how small it is, that he's liable as the for lashes, as the Torah says, Sheritza Ala Arutz, regarding the vermin that crawl on the floor, he's liable, and that's even an ant, which is even so small. So seemingly Tevel should be the same thing. Amrloi, they said to him, no, Meneshi Kibriyasa. The reason why an ant, no matter how small it is, you're liable, is because that's its own creation. It's a creature. So that's a whole thing. And that's why you're liable, even though it's small. But a regular thing, when you're eating an element, it has to be the size of an olive. To which Amalehen, Reb Shimon said back to them, Afchita Achas Kibriyasa. What do you mean? One kernel of wheat is also its own creation. And therefore, that's a minute amount. It doesn't need a kezayis. And therefore, he says that Tevel would be liable for Malkus, even though a small amount, like even one kernel of wheat. Now, the Gemara asked regarding the opinion of our Mishnah, Chiva Krisis Katani. In our Mishnah, all those liabilities that there is a Chiv Karis for them, which there's no chiv mis bezdin for them, are mentioned in our Mishnah that they're going to get malchus if they violate that negative prohibition. But one of chiv mis bezdin, lo ketani, not one of those negative prohibitions which there's a death penalty in the court, are mentioned that there's going to be lashes that if they get warned for malchus, they're going to get that, are not mentioned. So says the Gemara, Masnid Mani, who is our Mishnah that says that chiv krisis will get malchus, but chiv mis bezdin will not get malchus? So the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, it's Rabbi Kiva, because the time like the Brisa, it's actually Machlekes. Echad Chiva Krisis, the first opinion this Brisa says, whether it be something that there's a liability for Karis, which the person dies at a young age and his children pass away, but it's all done at the hands of heaven. The Echad Chiva Mises Bezna, whether it's something that's a liability for the death penalty here in court, as we continue to him at Beis, Yeshne Bechlal Malkas Abom Divri Bishmol. Bishmol holds that both categories, including Chiva Mises Bezna, are included in the punishment of getting 39 lashes, which now the Gemara's assumption initially is that if that person gets a warning that he's going to get Misa and Malkus, he's going to get both lashes and the death penalty, whether it be Karis or whether it be Chiv Misa Bezdin. In contrast to Bekiva, I mean, he says, Chiv increases regarding something that is a liability of Karis. If they warn him when he's doing the violation, that if you do this, you're going to get malchus, yeshne mechlal malchus abayim, then he's included in the punishment of getting 39 lashes. And there's no problem about, as we'll see later on, of kedei rishasa, which says that a person could only get one punishment, not two punishments, because if you're going to punish him malchus with karis, so why isn't that a problem of shtei rishois? Is because actually he could exempt himself and absolve himself from the punishment of Karis by doing repentance. Because in regards to the Bezen Shamal of Halacha Shem Asa Tshuva, if they do repentance, Bezen Shamal Meichlehen, the heavenly courts, they'll be forgiving for the person. So therefore it's not inevitable that you're going to get Shtei Rishois, you're only going to get one, which is Malkus. And therefore we can give you Malkus even though you have a Chiv of Karis. In contrast, Chiv Mises Bezdin, Eina Bechal Malkus Abam, if someone says Rabbi Kiva violates something which he could get the death penalty here in the court, there he's not included in getting the 39 lashes, because there's two punishments, lashes and death. Because when he's going to get lashes, ultimately he is going to be executed. Because even Shem Asa Tshuva, even if he repents, in Bezin Shalmata Meichlehen, that doesn't help over here in a regular court. If someone murders someone, if someone does something that's Chiv Mises Bezin, the court's not going to be forgiving him from the death penalty, even if he does Tshuva, and that's why that Shtei Rishois, that you can't get. In contrast to Karas, we can do Tshuva, there it's Risha Achas, and therefore he gets lashes. A third opinion of Yitzchakim, he says that no, even Chiv Krisis, which was warned that he's going to get Malkus, is not including getting Malkus. Because all Chiv Krisis, all those which are liable for Karas in the parasha of Arayas, which is the opening categories of our Mishnah, Bechlal Hayu, they were all included in the pasuk of Yukir Yitches that says, Ki kol asher yaseh mekol ha'tavos, whoever does from any of these abominations, where it went through a whole list of Arayas, says, V'nichrus ha'nafashas v'gayim, it says that they're going to get Karas. So if every erva was already including Karis, V'lama yatzis Karis b'achesi, so why was it mentioned by itself in Parashas Kedoshim, the Isser of getting Karis, the punishment of getting Karis, by if a man has relations with his sister? Like it says, V'ishki kechaz achesi, if he's going to take his sister and have relations with her, why does it mention if the sister was already included in all the rest of the categories of a rise of getting Karis? And that's Rabbi Yitzchak because L'doyne b'Karis v'loy b'Malkus. That's why the Torah repeated Karis again by one of them to teach regarding all of them that there's only punishment that one is going to get is Karis and not going to get Malkus. Those are the three different opinions in the Braisa. Rabbi Shmuel saying that all categories, even Chiv Mizbezin, get Malkus. Rabbi Akiva saying, no, only Chiv Krisis, as we're saying that he's the Tanna of a Mishnah, that Chiv Krisis is going to get even not only Kares, but Malkus. In contrast, as we see in our Mishnah, Chiv Mizbezin are not mentioned. There you're not going to get that and Malkus. And Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that actually, even Chiv Krisis, he's not going to get Malkus. So now the Gemara asks my time to Rabbi Shmuel, what's the reason of Rabbi Shmuel that you can get Chiv Mizbezin and get Malkus? Because the pasuk says in Devarim, "Im lois sishma lasis is called divrei hatarazis." If you're not going to safeguard to do all the words of this Torah, so Ksiv, this says in the next pasuk, "V'hif laHashem es makos." Hashem is going to be wondrous in the hits in the punishments that He's going to do for you. Now, says the Gemara, "Haflaz do any demahi." When it says He's going to do wondrous punishments to you, we don't know really what does that mean. But Kishuaymu, when the pasuk says in Devarim a similar shayrish. V'hipilu ha-shevet v'kol lefanu. When it talks about the punishment of lash, it says that the judge will throw down the person that's getting the lashes, and he's going to hit him in front. So you see the pei lamed have o'im ha-flaw zu malkus. So you see that the word ha-flaw means lashes. Now, if that's what the pasuk there in Devarim is talking about, the original pasuk he brought is talking about lashes. Uksiv, it says over there, im lois ish malasas says kol begoyim. If you're not going to safeguard to do all the words of the Torah, which seems to be any negative prohibition, not only chiv krisis, but even chiv mizbezin. You see that even something that's punishable by the death penalty here in court, every negative prohibition, including those, are going to get hafla, which, as we see, means v'pilu hashayva, which means getting malchus. Now that the Gemara asks, ihach chiv haseinami, but if it means if someone violates any of the mitzvahs of the Torah, including chiv mizbezin, then even someone violates a positive commandment should also get lashes. And that we know that everyone agrees it's only by negative prohibition. Says the Gemara, no, because im lo sishmar ksiv. It says that if he's not going to safeguard, now, ukadireb oven amr b'loi, like amr oven amr b'loi, because the amr oven amr b'loi, he says, kamokam shenema, wherever it says one of these terminologies, he shamar, as it says in this pasuk, safeguard, or pen, or maybe, or va'al, or don't, and the elo lais to say it refers to a negative prohibition. So regarding negative prohibition, that's what the pasuk is talking about, any negative prohibition, even chiv mizbezin, then there's going to be a punishment of malchus, but not a chiv asay. But the Gemara asked, but Iach, if that's the case, that this is the source for any negative prohibition, so lav shein b'maisa nami, so then even a negative prohibition that's done passively without an action should also get lashes. Why do we find many times in Shas that the Gemara says, lav shein b'maisa, a negative prohibition that does not have an action, ein loikim lov, that there's no lashes? And that says the Gemara, because no, it says, las is ksiv. If he's not going to safeguard to do, which tells us it's only regarding a violation of action, an active violation that he gets lashes, but a passive negative prohibition that he violates by not doing, that he doesn't get lashes for. But the Gemara has another question. But lav shenitig la'asei nami. But then even a negative prohibition that could be rectified by a positive commandment afterwards, like the classic case of Naisa that the Torah says, don't leave over the carbon past the time. If you do, then go ahead and burn it. Don't steal. If you do, then return the theft. So why do we say also in Shas that Allah Shanatik Lasay doesn't get lashes? There also, it's still a negative prohibition and you should get lashes. Says the Gemara, no, dummi delav de chasima. The punishment of Malkus has to be similar to the negative prohibition of muzzling an animal, because that parasha of Chasim is written right next to the parasha of Malkus. And just like muzzling is not nitik la'aseh, there's nothing that once you violate that could undo that prohibition, what's done is done, so too to get the lashes for a negative prohibition has to be something that's not nitik la'aseh. If it is, then that's not similar to Chasim, and therefore you're not going to get lashes. Now says the Gemara, hashad da'as l'hochi, now that you said that to get Malkus for a negative prohibition has to be similar to the lav of Chasima, which answers the question of why it has to be lav shaloi nitik la'aseh to get lashes. So kulanami, then actually all the previous questions too, regarding why it has to be a negative prohibition and not a positive commandment, and why it has to be an action and it will not include lav she'im b'maseh, is also because dumin de lav de chasim has to be similar to the negative prohibition of muzzling, which is a negative prohibition, not a mitzvah saseh, and it's an action that you're doing by muzzling and not a passive lois saseh, and that's why those three are not included in the punishments of Malkus for violating the Isser and the Torah. So that explains the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, why he holds that even for Chiv Mizbezin, that as the pasuk including Kol HaTorah, it's called the Vetarazais, is going to get the lashes, the punishment of Malkus for the Lois Aseh. Now the Gemara asks Rabbi Akiva my time. What's the reason of Rabbi Akiva that he holds that, no, actually by Chiv Mizbezin, you're not going to get lashes? Because the pasuk in the Devarim says, when we're talking about the punishment from the judges getting the punishment, it says that they punish him k'day rishas according to his wickedness. Now it says it in the singular, which teaches us mishum risha achas at mechayve, because of one wickedness you could hold him liable. V'yat mechayve mishum shtei rishas, but you cannot hold him liable for two wickedness. And therefore, if you're punishing him for the greater punishment, which is death penalty, you can't go ahead and also give him lashes. Now, but on that, Rabbi Shmuel, he would tell you, you're right. But Hanamila Misa Mamma, that would be if, let's say, you want to give him the death penalty and hold him liable for financial obligations. Oy Malkus Mamman, or lashes and money. Aval Misa Umalkus, but they give him death penalty and lashes? That says Rabbi Shmuel, Misa Richtihi, that's considered like one long death. That's not considered two Rishois. That's one Risha. Lashes is like an intro to the death penalty, and therefore that could be considered k'day rishasai. And as he learns it out from the pasuk, as kol devaterazayis, the lashes are even for chiv misbezin too. Now the Gemara asked the Rebbe Kiva, according to Rebbe Kiva, ihachi, if that's the case, that the reason why he says that by chiv misbezin you're not going to get lashes because you cannot hold a person liable because of two rishayis, can't give him the death penalty and lashes. So then chiv increases nami. So then also for those who are liable for karis should not get lashes, because that's also shtei rishayis, because he's still getting the punishment of karis. Now, my Ahmed, what are you going to say to answer that question? Oh, like Rabbi Kiva himself had said, as we quoted him before, shim asu tshuva, because if they repent, then meaning he could exempt himself and absolve himself from the karis through tshuva, so it's not definite that he's going to get karis, so therefore we can give him lashes. But the Gemara's question is, Mahashta mi is la'avdi. But ultimately, right now, he didn't yet do tshuva yet. And you're going to give him lashes when there's still the punishment of karis on him. How could you do that? That's shtei rishayis. How do we understand Rabbi Kiva? Why over there, as the halacha of our Mishnah is saying, as we're saying that Rabbi Kiva, that by chiva krisis, you can get malchus? So Amr Bevo, he says, Befeirish ribsa teira chiva krisis malchus. He says, it's a good question, but the Torah explicitly includes chiva krisis to get malchus. How do we know this? Because there's a gzeres shava. The gamar le'ene, we learn off the pasuk in Vayikra that says v'nichrusu le'ene b'nei amam, that they're going to get karis, and use the word le'ene. And we learn that mile'enecha from the pasuk in Devarim that says by malchus v'nikla achicha le'enecha, that your brother will be ashamed in front of your eyes. So it says le'ene by chiba krisis. Says a similar word le'enecha by lashes. Just like over there it means lashes, also over here it means lashes. So that's how Rabbi Kiva knows that by chiba krisis there's going to be lashes. Now, on that mask of the Rabbi Mamalhi, however, he asked on that. He says, well, Ihoch, if that's the case, that's why he's saying Machiba Krisis is going to be Malkis from that Gzer Shava, so Chiv Mises Bezin Nami Negamrim. So then, those which get the death penalty in court should also be learned out from the same type of a Gzer Shava. It says, a Pasuk Midbar, Me'ene, where it says, by someone who violates the Issa Vedazar, it says, Me'ene Ha'eda Nasil Ishkog, if from the eyes of the assembly it was done by mistake. So it says me'ene, should also be learned to me'le'enecha, from where it says by Malkus, le'enecha, same term, me'ene and le'enecha. So maybe they're also shabbat, the same exer shabbat, and even mechiv misa bezmer, but kibbe should hold that there's lashes. And that answers the Gemara, no, don and le'ene me'le'enecha. By chiv krisis, where it says le'ene, to the eyes, it's very similar to le'enecha, because they both have the same prefix, just the suffix is different. But ve'ein donen me'ene mele'enecha, but we're not going to learn out chiv mises bezin, which first of all is different the prefix and the suffix, where it says me'ene, and there it says le'enecha, one says from, one says to, and the end is also different. Here it says ene, and there it says enecha. So therefore, that's why chiv mises bezin, we don't learn that gzeir shava. To which the Gemara asks, what do you mean? My nafkamina, what's the difference that is these subtle differences? But Vatanad Rebbe Shmuel, in the Bais of Rebbe Shmuel, that he says regarding the halachas of Nega, there's one pasuk that says Veshava Kohen, the Kohen comes back. Another pasuk says Uva Kohen, the Kohen comes. Says Rebbe Shmuel, Zuhi Shiva Vezuhi Bia. It's the same thing. Coming back or coming, we learn out like Zereshava from those psukim, from those halachas, one to the other. Where we say, just like when he comes back, the Torah says he has to take off those stones and take off the plaster and put on new plaster. So too, when it says regarding his coming, when it says the term Bia, not Shiva, it's also taking off the stones and taking off the plaster and putting on new. So you see, we learn the Zereshava, it doesn't be the same exact. It's the same idea, coming back or coming. So for sure, Me'ene from Le'enecha is the same idea of Enayim. So why wouldn't that be a valid Zereshava? Moreover, the Gemara asks, even if you tell me I can't learn Atchiv Misbezmin from Malkus, there's still a way that I'd be able to learn the Gezerah Shabbat. Because Ligmer mi einei, we should learn out the term mi einei that it says b'chiv misbezin mi le'einei from the term le'einei of chiv akrisis, because there it's the same thing, they have the same suffix. And because just like by krisis you get malchus, because dogamer le'einei mi le'necha, because you learn out, and there it doesn't have the same suffix, but it has the same prefix, so you learned that chiv akrisis from chiv malchus, so to chiv misbezin should get malchus, because you see it's enough to have either the prefix or the suffix the same, and the chiv misbezin has the same prefix as it says by chiv akrisis, and chiv akrisis we know gets malchus, because that has the limud from malchus, which has the same prefix to. So therefore, that for sure should be a valid Gzer Shabbat. And therefore, why does Rabbi Kiva say, Bechiv Misbezin, that there's no Malkus? So the Gemara tells us that Kibbalah Mineri B'Shmuel Bar of Yitzchok, that he accepted this question of Rabbi B'Mamel, and therefore he responded to explain the opinion of Rabbi Kiva as follows. Kedei Rishasi, the Torah says that the person gets punished by the court according to his wickedness, which, as we said, teaches, Mishum Risha Achas At Mechayv, you can only make him liable for one wickedness. V'yat Mechayv Mishum Shtei Rishayis, you cannot make him guilty and punish him for two wickednesses. Now, says Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, that's Berisha HaMesur LeBezna Kasam Adab. The Pasuk is told regarding a wickedness that's given over to the hands of the court. The Torah's warning is warning in that Pasuk to the Bezdin. They should not give a punishment to a person for two punishments. For example, money and lashes, or death and lashes, or death and money. But Karis is not through the court, and therefore, that the Torah never tells you that there's only Risha Achas and not Shtei Rishayis. The court here is only giving lashes. The Karis is by Shemayim, and therefore that's not including Gedei Rishayis, because that's a warning only on the court. And that's why Rabbi Kiva holds by Karis that you could get Karis and still get lashes. Some explain what the Gemara means, Kibbalah Mineri B'Shmuel, he accepted from a Bavo, this teretz on the question of Rabbi Abba Mamel. But that's one approach to explain the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Rav Amar, he says, he actually qualifies as follows. He says, he qualifies the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, and he says, Asra Bei Liktala, that up until now we had assumed in the Gemara, what we're told about the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is that the person is going to get both. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you're going to get Mises, Bezdin, and Malkus, and Karis, and Malkus. And Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He says, no. If you're going to get Mises, Bezdin, you're not going to get Malkus. But by Karis, you can get Karis and Malkus. And that says, Rava, no. He disagrees. He says, Asra Beilik Tala, if the person was warned that he's going to get the death penalty, Kulam Aloi Pligi De Ein Loi Gomes. No one's going to disagree. Even Rabbi Shmuel, you can't get lashes and get the death penalty. You're only going to get one of them, which is going to be the death penalty. Says Rava, ki pligi de asra be la malchus. Their whole machlekes was only if the person was warned, which the only way you get that punishment is regarding the warning, the only thing he was warned for was that he's going to get lashes. Now, on that explains the machlekes as follows Rava. Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel held, lav shenitin la asaras mises bezdin. A negative prohibition that could be given over to have a warning that there's going to be a liability of the death penalty on it, like in the love. If he was warned, not that he's going to get death penalty, he was warned that he's going to get lashes. So if, regarding that warning, and he violates it, he'll get the punishment of lashes. But Rabbi Kiva Saba, he disagrees. He holds lav shenit lazaros and mises bezdin regarding a negative prohibition that could be given over to a warning of getting the death penalty. Ain't like in the love. There, even when they warn him that he's going to get lashes without warning him that he's going to get the death penalty, he does not get lashes for that. The reason for that is because this negative prohibition that was mentioned in the Torah was not given over to have a punishment of Malkus like other negative prohibitions of the Torah, because the Torah needed to warn the person that what's the Asara for? For an Einish Misa. Because if not, the Torah could not have made the person liable for the death penalty, because you need to have an Asara written in the Torah and an Einish. So the Asara written in the Torah was for the Einish of Misa. When you go and you warn him that he's going to get lashes, that you can't do. The Torah never warned him for lashes. The Torah only warned him for the death penalty, and therefore, even if you warn him for lashes, Kiva says he's not going to get lashes. That's the machlokes. But again, if the person was warned for the death penalty and lashes, he's not going to get both, says Rabbi, even according to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but then Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva, ihach, if that's the case, sechiv akrisis nami. So then the logic of Rava is difficult now in Rabbi Kiva regarding what he holds regarding chiv akrisis. There also, lav shenitin lasharis karasu. That means to say that when the Torah warned the person, the negative prohibition was only for a warning of Karis. Because again, as we said, to get an oynish, you need to have asara. The asara was for the asara of karis. And even if they want that he's going to get lashes, why does Rabbi Akiva agree over there that the person will get lashes? That shouldn't be valid to punish the person with lashes. So that Amalei Rav Mordechai, Rav Ashi says, Hocha am avimim ha-grunim b'shmei d'rava. That chiv increases late tzrich asra. No, regarding something that's a punishment of karis from shemayim, there the Torah does not have to give a warning in the Torah, although the word is asra, but it means azhara. And therefore, if there is azhara written in the Torah regarding those which get karis, it's for the malchus and not for the karis, because for the karis you don't need to have azhara, as the Gemara proves it. Shari Pesach Amilo, because regarding someone that does not bring the Karban Pesach or does not circumcise on the eighth day, the halacha is Anash Ava Pishlei Hizr. There the person gets a punishment, even though the Torah doesn't give a negative prohibition, there's still going to be a punishment of Karis. It's a positive commandment, but it doesn't say in the Torah a negative prohibition not to do that. And still, the person gets karis. So you see that even though there's no asara written in the Torah, you can get karis. Obviously, to get karis, you don't need asara. Therefore, it means to say that every time in the Torah that says asara for something that is karis for, the asara is for the punishment of malchus, and that's what Rabbi Akiva holds. By chiba krisis, and he's warned for malchus, then he's going to get malchus. But the Gemara still asks, but v'dilma asara l'karban? Maybe no. Maybe the asara is not used, as we're trying to say, for the lashes. Maybe the asara b'chiba krisis is for the karban. If a person violates that chiva krisis by mistake, the halacha is it brings a carbon. How do we know there's a liability for that punishment of bringing a carbon? Maybe that's what the ashara is for. And actually, it says the Gemara, that would be logical. Because the Pesach Amila de Lesbu Azara, because as we just pointed out before, not bringing the Karban Pesach or not circumcising, where the Torah does not give an explicit warning regarding them, the halacha is loy maisi carbon. They don't bring a carbon if, by mistake, a person did not bring the Karban Pesach or circumcise. As the Gemara says this in Masechta Krisis in the first parak, that the Gemara describes over there that Pesach and Milah are mitzvahs asay, meaning what does the Gemara mean over there? They're not included in the category of the other Chiva Krisis, although there is karis by them, but you can't count them with the other Chiva Krisis, which the mission there counts, to say that if you do all of them in one lapse of awareness, you're going to be chayv the same amount of karbanis according to the amount of Krisis. That doesn't apply to Pesach and Milah because there's no carbon. Why not? Why is there no carbon? Isn't every chiva krisis chayav a carbon? No, because seemingly says the Gemara, because there's no azhar written in the Torah. So maybe the azhar is for the carbon and not for the malchus. How does Rabbi Akiva know, according to the way Rav is explaining, that the azhar is in the Torah are for the malchus of the chiva krisis? Says the Gemara, no, it's not true. The question is incorrect. Hasam, over there that we don't bring a carbon by failing to bring the carbon pesach or circumcising, lav hainu taima, that's not the reason because it doesn't say an azhar regarding them. Rather, the reason is because they're positive commandments. And the reason is because the iskish kol Torah kulo, we compare all Torah violations regarding bringing a carbon, la'avodas kechavim, to the isser of avodah zarah, as it's brought in Parsha Shlach, next to the where it talks about bringing a carbon for doing avodah zarah, it says, Torah achas yil lechem lo'isa b'shkoga, there should be one Torah for you for anyone that does a violation by mistake. Which the Pasuk is equating all the Averis of the Torah, if you do it by mistake, to Avodah Zarah regarding bringing a carbon, which teaches us, Ma'avodas kechavim, just like Avodah Zarah, that there's karis. And regarding that, what type of karis is it that you bring a carbon? It's regarding something that the Torah is telling you, Shev va'al tasa, sit and don't do that. And the person disregards it and he gets up and he does that negative prohibition. Av kol shev al tasa, also everything which is saying sit and don't do, and the person gets up and does do, that's where for that chiva karis is going to have to bring a karban chatas. But regarding a karis, where the Torah is telling you get up and do, and he sits and he doesn't do, there's no karban. And therefore that's la fukihani, that excludes Pesach and Mila, the kum asay, where there the Torah is telling you get up and do, and he does not get up and do, which is a passive, there's no liability of a carbon, because that's not similar to Avodah Zarah, which is don't do, and you, yes, do in violation. But regarding chiva krisis, like it says, Ashayasim kol eila v'nichrisu, regarding those krisis, where they're also sheval tasa, which the Torah is telling you sit and don't do, so even though it would not have said in the Torah a warning of a negative prohibition, that we would know that you would have to bring a carbon because of its similarity to Avodah Zarah. Therefore, that was the Gemara's answer from Rava. That's why, if it does say an Asar HaBakrisis, what's that for? as we said, you don't need it for the punishment of creases, as we find by Pesach and Milah. Neither do you need it for carbon, because that we already know from a comparison to Avodah Zarah. Rather, it must be telling you for the punishment of getting lashes, and that's why Chibah creases is unique according to Bekiva, that even though this karas, you're still going to get lashes. Ravina, he actually says, La'olam truth, if you go to the top of Yudal Madalv, he says, Kedamina Ikar. We could even say, as we originally had said, that the reason of Rabbi Kiva, that why he excludes, let's say, Chiv Mises Bezin from getting Malkus, is because you can't give a person Shtei Rishois two punishments for one act of a violation, and yet still he says you can get Malkus even though you're getting Karis, is as he himself was quoted as saying, because by Karis, there, Shem Asta Truva, if the person repents, Bezin Shal Malam Moichelahen, so the heavenly court will forgive him. And therefore, it's not going to be two punishments. But then, as we had asked originally, but Mayamet, what are you going to say? That no, Chiva Krisis is also Shtei Rishayis, because he still has now, ultimately, the punishment of Karis on him right now, because Holei Ovet Truva, he didn't yet repent yet. And that's his Ravina, but ultimately, Le Psika Milsa Le Karis. But it's not definite yet that he's going to get Karis, to be exempt from Malkus by saying, oh, he already gets one punishment of Karis, he can't get two, because since it's contingent on Tshuva, he might do Tshuva, he might never get Karis. And since it's not definitely two Rishayis, therefore, says Ravin, in that case, we do give the person Malkus, because he might not get two Rishayis, only when it definitely, where you could do Tshuva, the court's still going to execute you, there Rabbi Kiva says, as it's admitted from our Mishnah, that Bechiv Mises Bezin you're not going to get Malkus, but Bechiv Krisis, where you might not get it, there you will get the Chiv of Malkus.